headed to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back here on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. He's Greg Pickle. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. As promised, we are taking a stand. We are going to tackle some kind of Penn State football, Big Ten, national issues, whatever our crazy mad scientist of a boss, Jim Galante, has for us. Three topics. Greg and I will each have a chance to say our piece. And then the game, as I mentioned, will be rigged, so Greg wins. So here we go.
That's right.
That's how it's gone the last two. I guess you're 1-0-1.
Right, because we tied last week.
I'm 0-1-1. Okay.
So rigged for Greg. We have a plan.
Right.
Now we just need to execute it.
I'm just going to go through the motions. Why would I get emotionally invested into a corrupt process? But anyway,
so going through the motions, so like every other week.
Exactly.
All right, here we go. First one, gentlemen, you have your Penn State schedules in front of you.
I do, or I'll talk long enough until I find it.
Yeah, Greg can go first. I'll get
on the board. We have it over there.
Oh,
perfect.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
Here we go. Penn State schedule, I think we'll all agree that two big tests are Ohio State at home, Michigan on the road, right?
Yes.
Outside of those two games, which one should Penn State be most concerned about? I'm looking at Pitt on the road, Michigan State, Iowa, Wisconsin, a pretty good schedule. Which of those games scares you the most? Let's
most
start
concerned.
With you, Dusty.
Well, I think the easy thing to say would be Michigan State because they lost to them last year. It's a team that's on the fringe of that top 10 preseason national ranking. I also happen to think that Iowa is going to be a stiff challenge because I think they've got some ingredients there, including a quarterback in Nate Stanley who could make a move this year. But Wisconsin on November 10th, I don't know if Wisconsin will be unbeaten or not. They're going to have to march through a little bit more difficult of a schedule with some East Division crossover games. But getting them at home is key. But their huge offensive line, their power run game, Penn State will have a lot of its season to go through to try to develop some of that defensive tackle depth and try to develop and bring your linebackers along. But their recipe for success, it kind of works against Penn State's, I'll say, deficiencies or question marks on defense. And we'll see if they start to have answers to them as the season goes along. And then the other part of that equation is that you're going on the road to Michigan the week before, coming back home for a physical Wisconsin team. You know, there's going to be some emotional, some physical concerns there coming out of the Michigan game. I have no idea what the national narrative is going to be like by then because you have to clear, you know, Ohio State, Michigan State, Iowa, and Michigan if this is going to be a battle of top tens. But that Wisconsin game, it may or may not mean a ton at that point in time, depending on how Penn State takes care of business. But that's a scary team for the issues that Penn State has going into the season.
Yeah. So who did you end up picking there?
Wisconsin.
Okay, Wisconsin.
I was building up to it. I mean, we have three questions and we have 13 minutes. You got to do some build-up at some point.
That's right. So I would typically be on board with that. But I have a couple of concerns about some other games on the schedule, and the one I'm going to go with, well, I'm going to talk about two, and then I'll pick one. Pittsburgh, for starters. So if you're not dialed in and you go out there to Heinz Field, I get it's going to be a pro Penn State crowd. I get that. You look at Pitt's roster, and you're like, ooh, man. I mean, there's some nasty holes on that roster. And it's going to be a pro Penn State crowd, but if you're not dialed in and you go out there and you know it's a snowball effect where one thing goes wrong, maybe a pick six, maybe a fumble deep in your own end, maybe a bad punt, maybe, you know, any number of things, and all of a sudden the tide starts to turn against you and you have a lot of young guys who are going to be playing significant snaps in a hostile environment for the first time, I don't know. It's a worrisome game. That's one of those ones you'd like to start fast and just put the result out of question early. And then just coast to victory, even if you give up some points late. That's one of those games where if you let them linger in the game, the Panthers could maybe steal it from you in the end. Think of what they did to Clemson just a year ago. The other one that's bugging me is Illinois. Okay, look, again, Illinois, really, really bad football team. But Friday night game, 9 o'clock Eastern start, 8 p.m. local start, the week before Ohio State. There's a lot of reasons to overlook a pretty putrid Lovie Smith team, but those are sometimes the games where you know, who is gonna be at Champaign Stadium at 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock on a Friday night to watch Illinois Penn State? Sure, the alumni chapter of the Chicago Penn State group will send a nice couple buses, but other than that, it's probably gonna be empty. It's a bad team. And oh, by the way, you get an extra day of rest. You just got to get through this game. Then you get an extra day of rest before your biggest game of the year, arguably. So those two are tricky to me. I'm going to go with Pittsburgh, but I'm telling you what, Illinois is right up there for me. I know there's a lot of people out there thinking, what in the world is he talking about? Illinois is terrible. I think the spot is absolutely awful for Penn State.
So the road, going on the road and being in the first 4 weeks of the season are both factors there. The newness that comes along with, I know Ricky Ronnie's called plays before, but you've got all your personnel issues to work through early in the season. I get that. But at the same time, Penn State athletically, talent-wise, is leaps and bounds ahead of both.
They were leaps and bounds ahead of Temple, though, too. That's the one thing I go back to.
Traps happen.
Right.
Traps happen. But I won't predict it at this point.
I think that was a different era in Penn State football when they lost to Temple. And
that means you get the point.
Yes, Dustin's going to get the point, but here's why I think so with the Wisconsin. It concerns me. Last season, Penn State plays Ohio State. Crazy game for both teams. The following week, they both got beat.
Yeah.
And I think the point you made about being at Michigan the week before, that's what concerns me. And Dustin takes the lead.
It's not an upset. This is 3 weeks in a row I got the first point.
It is not an indication of how the rest
precisely
of the day will go. All right, here we go. Question number two. And we had a questioner in Ask Greg kind of asked something similar, but I already had this in my notes, and I want to go
stick
to
it.
Who is going to be the player on the Penn State roster that we're not talking about now, but we will be talking about by the end of the season? You know, there's a history of this. The name that I always think of is Nassib from several years ago.
Yeah.
He went from wherever to a tremendous player. Who's that player on the roster now? Greg, you're going first.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we talked about a couple of names that could potentially fly into this category. I mean, Damian Barber certainly being one of them. But the guy I'm going to go with is Jonathan Sutherland. I just think that we've seen a lot from him from a maturity standpoint, from a growth standpoint. And no one's talking about him because it sounds quite clear that, to me at least, that Garrett Taylor and Nick Scott are going to be the go-to safeties. They're going to be the starters. They're going to be the guys that get the most snaps. But Sutherland hits like a tank. We know that. They don't call him any Marcus Allen for nothing. And I think that he's going to find a role with this team this year that far exceeds what it looks like it's going to be as we sit and talk about this in early July. I just think that this is a guy that should see more reps, should see more snaps, should see more opportunity to really make an impact starting as soon as this year. And I think he'll be able to. So I'm going to go with him.
That's fair. And special teams is always in play for a guy like that. And, you know, you saw his Marcus Allen type ability in the blue white game. I'm going to say, you know, there are zero expectations for any of Penn State's tight ends. And so you could go with Nick Bowers, you could go with Jonathan Holland. You know, a lot of the conversation is centered around Danny Dalton through the spring because he was the most visible. I'm going to say Nick Bowers. I think that from an injury standpoint, that's always a threat. He hurt his knee, but at that point in time, what was it, the 2016 season, he showed a lot of promises. He's a big dude with really fast feet who, before all that injury stuff happened, was seen dunking over somebody.
Right.
That athletically, I think that he's going to be Penn State's best blocker. I'm going to say that he not comes out of nowhere, but he hasn't been discussed very much. And I think he's going to, I'm going to predict him to get a small majority of tight end snaps.
Hmm.
Interesting.
It is. I'll tell you what. For the drama of the game,
you would
think the point would go to Greg, but I got to give points to Dustin for going tight end at all on this roster. And any reference to a guy playing basketball and dunking, I love the reference.
There you go, basketball guy.
So Dustin is going to assure himself of a victory this week. I'm going to go with Dustin.
And cue up, Queens, we are the champions.
That's right.
Well, we're still going to go through the motions, as you said, Dustin, with our last question. And before you assume the victory, I have been known to give negative points for a really bad answer. So we have potential for a tie. So be careful. Don't start queuing up Queen just yet. Our third question. Penn State coaching staff, they've lost several guys over the last couple years. Who is the coach on the current staff that James Franklin would least like to lose?
Wow. I think you can make a case for several. And I'll do the same thing that I did for the schedule post, where the schedule question. Brent Pry is an obvious one. Defensive coordinator, has worked with James Franklin for a number of years. Ricky Ronnie is kind of like James Franklin's up and comer. He's the guy that James Franklin has groomed to reach this point in his career. He's also the guy that James Franklin sounds like he sure expects to stick around for a while. And then Sean Spencer as the defensive line coach. James Franklin gave him a promotion to associate head coach. Run game coordinator, defensive line coach. So those three are the three candidates, I think. I don't know if you can make a case for any of the other guys. Jaywon Sider, too new, but he seems to be paying dividends. I'm going to go with Sean Spencer because development on that defensive line has been immense. I mean, it's huge, and they've made the most out of all these three-star guys, and I think that as a recruiter for these defense, he connects with guys. He, you can make a comparison to Larry Johnson and how well Sean Spencer recruits. All three of these guys, I think Franklin would be pretty upset to lose. But Sean Spencer, he had to make a run at keeping him around this past offseason.
Yeah, you hear a lot about the idea that, Sean Spencer's a guy that could get jobs elsewhere. I'm stuck between two at the moment. Brent Pry is a guy that is probably going to eventually take his shot somewhere else. And the question is, do you have his replacement on the roster? That's really, or on the coaching staff roster, rather. That's really what it comes down to. So I wonder where things stand with him. And then Ricky Ronnie, too, man. He's a smart guy. He doesn't have any interest in being a head coach, though. At least it doesn't sound that way at this point in time. So I don't think you have to worry about losing him. So I'm going to go with Brent Pry. And if I had to go with somebody else, I think the under-the-radar pick here would be Terry Smith. I just think that he is a guy that really recruits the western part of the state well. He's obviously been very good at developing corners. He's quiet, but he puts a lot of work in behind the scenes that I think is an instrumental part of not just the game day effort, but the recruiting efforts as well.
I'm going to award no points for that because the right answer was Ricky Ronnie, offensive coordinator. I think that would be the biggest loss. He trained under Moorhead, has that going for him.
Tyler Bowen did, too.
I think he would be the tough. I think.
Fair enough.
I'm the judge here. It's Ricky Ronnie. No points awarded.
Jim, you get negative points there. And I'm going to get out of here before you start taking points away. That's it for us on this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Thanks for tuning in. As always, download the Keystone Sports app. Check us out, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
If you're looking for the largest selection of beers in the area, it's time to head on over to Route 15 Beverage Express in Dillsburg. Conveniently located right off Route 15, you will also find a great selection of local and craft beers, and you can take care of all your barbecue needs as Route 15 Beverage now carries the great 409 Tailgate Club sauces and rubs. Head over to my favorite place, Ross Tucker, Route 15 Beverage Express. Convenient location, largest selection, and great service.